96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory.
Glory. Glory.
Oh.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day.
Good morning.
Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is that you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is you do, do. I'm happy that you do that do and that you're doing that do with me. It is Friday. Praise the Lord. We all made it. And so I look forward to doing all of the Friday special events that I do, of course, largely in keeping with COVID protocols, most times in secret locations like Place X. And so we made it. Hallelujah. It's a Friday. The people tired of working. Bim, ba-dum, ba-dum. All right. Now, it's going to be an open line, right? But before I get to that, I do need to do some housekeeping, right? A mentor of mine died last night, early this morning. Sparky, if you're still out there listening, that would be around the time that the old people call faux day this morning, right? Which apparently, if my understanding of it is correct, it is between 4 o'clock a.m. and 5:30 a.m. That is the time of night that old people refer to as faux day, right? And so he passed away sometime around that time last night. Or is it between 3:30 and 4, 5:30? Something like that. Anyway, and he is a giant of a man in the minds of many people. It just happens to be an interesting fact that he too is a former member of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. That's not where I know him, knew him from. That is not the incarnation with which I met him in. He actually happens to be the father of my best friend in real life, right? And his son and I fostered a friendship since the eighth grade. And for the past 25 years, we've been friends ever since. And I think one of the things that has kept us as friends, as conjoined friends, which is my dad and his dad were friends. He and I are friends. I am friends with his dad. He is friends with my dad. Is because our parents, our paternal parents, are so similar in deportment and bearing that it was kind of difficult to tell them apart, right? They were two men that knew very little about each other but had so many similarities. And so his daddy was a fisherman, my daddy was a fisherman. His daddy was a boat captain, my daddy was a boat captain. His daddy was a diesel mechanic, my daddy happened to be a diesel mechanic. My dad never slept beyond 4 o'clock in the morning. It didn't matter what was happening, even if the apocalypse came. His daddy never slept beyond 4 o'clock in the morning, even if the apocalypse came. And so they mirrored similarities in behavior, again, and in deportment so almost seamlessly that I guess people like myself and people like my friend, we took a liking to the parents of each other, right? And so last night I was very sad, or this morning rather, because I woke up to the news. I was very sad to hear of the passing of, you may know him as Force Chief Petty Officer retired, Dane Wilson. We call him Daddy. Some of you know him as Dane. He's from the Bluff Kid Island. And then there are those of you that may know him, again, through his sojourn through the Royal Bahamas Defense Force as Hardhead.
So he passed away last night, and I cannot do anything else before I do this. I have to offer him a tribute and salute. So the next thing you're going to hear is a tribute and salute to the father of my dear friend, D'Angelo Wilson, Mr. Dean Wilson, formerly known, affectionately known as Force Chief Petty Officer Wilson, also known as Hardhead Wilson from the Royal Bombers Defense Force. So my tribute to Mr. Wilson. And so, there you have it. So long, soldier. So long, my friend, Mr. Dean Wilson. Wherever you are in the great beyond, I wish you peace, and I hope that the Spirit of the Lord cloaks himself around you as you journey on to eternity. All right? Okay, so the lines are open. You can give me a call. I want to talk to you this morning. I have some questions. You can turn around and answer them, and then you can ask me questions, right? Let me also say before I get too far along that I also want to send a shout-out to my friend, the Chicken in the Bag. I don't know if you know Kermit, but there's a guy that does pop-ups. He actually does the chicken in the bag, like how you used to do it back in the old day, and wrap it in wax paper. I think the wax paper is what makes it taste so good, right? Yeah. Yeah. Listen, the slave in me wakes up when I think about fried chicken coated in ketchup and wrapped in wax paper. Something about that just makes me want to beat a drum on a hill in a Tatch Palm skirt, all right? Okay, so here are some of the things I want to talk about. I've seen Mr. Christie's pronouncements in the newspaper yesterday. Let me say I didn't watch the entire speech, although I'm fascinated with Christie, and so I watch him on every occasion that I can, right? I particularly would like to offer advice to the BLP to not let Mr. Davis speak after Mr. Christie, but I understand the way the lineup of the protocol works, and I would find a way to fix that, right? Like I would at least let one girl come and sing a song between me and Christie. There's no way I would speak right after Christie ever. But for whatever it is worth, it sounds to me as though Christie is beginning the call, the rally call to Sally. All right? And that then beckons to me that election season is in full gear now. Whether we like it or not, no matter what Mr. Minnis believes or not, he's at the point now where constitutionally he has to call an election in under 12 months. All right. It don't matter how the cat jump, we going for it in under 12. All right. That's where we are right now. But it is interesting to me when I see people like Mr. Christie beckon, not to his foot soldiers, you know, but when he beckons to generals politically. And so he said to Mother Pratt, listen, all that trying to be a statesman and all that you are above politics and, you know, that other stuff you like to go on with about how you apolitical. Yeah. Put that down. Enough of that. Come this way, put on one of these yellow t-shirts, and let's go knock on a couple of these doors. And basically, he didn't mince any words. He was very, very strong. This the only chance, Cynthia, we gonna have. So if it's now or never, all right, you got to put on your shiny shoes, and let's go to the dance, because if we don't dance now, we gonna end up with shiny shoes that we never dance in. So all of that trying to be apolitical, all that trying to be a representative of the people, in a way that is greater than politics. You know the spiel that Mother Pratt, and I believe her, Mother Pratt has actually done, in my estimation, a pretty decent job of fading off the scene for a woman that has made it as high in politics as she has, right? But she continues to, in a very stately way, only show up in the times where she can be most stately, right? And so we saw her, because if my recollection is not fading, I don't recall seeing her at many of these other PLP memorial services. So she came to this one yesterday, for whatever it was worth, whomever that is to her. And I guess it was Christie's one opportunity to dust the old soldier off and get her back in the battlefield. Because if you remember, she's undefeated, right? She wasn't beaten out of power. She left, right? And so Christie said, listen, man, the war about to start. I need you to put this uniform back on and come out here and fight the war. And leave that bunch of being a Grammy and pastor and book writer and leave that alone. Because you are a politician. Come this way with us. But the difficulty I have is that for the electorate, right? Because we are now hearing the interest of the political aspirants, or the politically aligned, or the political juggernauts in the case of Christie, right? What does it translate into for the people? I must say this. I am wary of the fact that both of our political leaders going into the next general election will be men that are 70. And the reason I am wary of that idea isn't because I'm ageist. It is because if you listen to the utterances of Dr. Dwayne Sands in the House of Assembly the other day, you must know that the next 5 years, and I know we say it every 5 years, but this next 5 years is going to require greater imagination. There's a call on the line. I see that call. Don't move. I'm on my way. I'm coming. All right? We are going to need to see a Bahamas that's not the one that we see today. And so we have got to figure out what that will look like. We can't just let people get away with adjectives and saying things like they will be big and bright and bold, and that they're willing to go the extra mile or take the extra step, because that doesn't translate into a tangible, measurable thing. And so the question I ask you this morning is, with that very similar underpinning, where both men that will lead these parties will do so as 70-year-old men in the next general election, what then would be the difference in your voting for Mr. Minnis and the FNM versus Mr. Davis and the PLP? And what exactly are you hoping to see as a citizen? I'll tell you what I'm hoping to see. I'm hopeful to see that should we live further through this pandemic, should there be another catastrophe, that we have a fully functioning, fully operational hospital in Exuma that is capable of bearing the brunt of whatever that is, and we no longer have to fight it in our capital city. I am hopeful to see a redevelopment in Grand Bahama that is touristic. Why? Because tourism is our business, and it is one of the largest money-generating businesses on the planet, right? That and selling weave, of course, or cosmetics, right? And so I'm interested in the Bahamas that can create a red district. And that is with consideration for my friends in the Christian Council. All right? Because I joke all the time, I'd rather have all my sin in one place, at least I know exactly where to go anoint, than to have sin all over the place, right? And so we can just simply make Grand Bahama, this is where my mind is on it, a red district where you go and you're able to enjoy all of the vices and people register to consume sin. We're going to have to begin to imagine a Bahamas where income tax is a thing, and how it will look. Who will it affect? When will it affect them? And so I think going into this next election, man, it has got to be more, and I say this very respectfully for Mr. Christie's point, it has got to be more than this is our one shot at it. Because that begs the question, our one shot at what? And for who? And so that's what I'm thinking about this morning. We can talk about it. 323-622-32-325-4316-325-4259. Let's take the call online, Kermit. Good morning, caller. You're on. All right, not there. All right, and so you can give me a call back. 323-622-32-325-4316-325-4259. Right? So if we are simply satisfied with saying we are going to vote for the Progressive Liberal Party because I is born, bred, gedeared, PLP, then what do we want? If you, like me, say to yourself, man, I for Tanya FNM. I don't mind me talking foolishness, but I reach, I go vote for the FNM because unless you've been an FNM for 20 years, you ain't more FNM than me, right? But what does that look like, right? And I'm not FNM. I happen to be a political bastard at this point. Or often. Maybe I'm a political often. Because I think my political taste was developed through the FNM. Albeit I've never been a member of the party or anything like that. But my methodology in politics aligned, or political methodology aligned with the FNM. These days, there is no alignment. So I have no political umbrella that I reside under. Anyway, that was just a side. But it has to translate into more, right? Like, do we want to continue a country with, 14 inhabited islands, all of which bearing two or more airports, all of which requiring two or more generators from BEC, all of which requiring senior police officers, junior police officers, living accommodations, car, et cetera, in what we know is an inefficient attempt at law enforcement. And one only needs to look at what happened in Andros the other day, right? They had the fight in Andros. Paul Sergeant, what'd he name? I mean, they almost killed that poor man. And it's because he doesn't imagine that crime will ever get that high on that island. He doesn't imagine that he will ever have to go into combat in Andros. He doesn't expect it. And so we have been operating. I heard Mr. Chester Cooper said that the budget is an Alice in Wonderland budget. But largely, we have to accept these Alice in Wonderland budgets because we are running an Alice in Wonderland country. We run a country where every civil servant above a certain rank believes he or she will be entitled to a car with never-ending, unceasing supplies of fuel, never-ending, unceasing supply of tires and oil and body parts, because don't act like they don't mash them up. They got a million of them mash up. We, Mr. Chester Cooper, possibly are comfortable with Alice in Wonderland budget because we continue to act as though this is the Wizard of Oz. Right? And we continue to believe that we can just click our red shoes together and it'll all go away because we're the Bahamas. So as you approach the polls, as you go to the polls, as you begin to think about what are the things that matter to you, what kind of Bahamas you want to live in? What kind of position do you want to have on the domestic level? International level. You have to consider that. You have to consider which of the two people, which of the two teams will get you closest to that. And I don't know if it's clear cut and dry. I know people like Anton will say, oh, there's no other way to go but the Progressive Liberal Party and the Honorable Philip Brave Davis. And you can see that he's brave. And with Chester Cooper at his side, we're going to fix the books and balance the budget. And that will be nonsense. Because Shivago Lang just proved to you all yesterday that ain't nobody reduced the debt around here in 20 years. Nor deficit spending in 20 years. And that they all happen to be almost the same identical styles of governance. And while I'm comfortable with that, because I don't have a difficulty with governments running massive budgets. I don't. I also don't have a difficulty with governments running massive deficits. I don't. But if you ask me whether or not I am comfortable with the $1 billion that Pinling left compared to what is now going to be left because of borrowing, I would say that I was far more comfortable with that borrowing because that borrowing I could see, touch, and feel. I could go around and understand why I owed $1 billion. But the way the Bahamas government, and this is in my estimation, has been doing governance over the last 15 years, is it reminds me of the young Marine seaman with the virgin salary, right? So he go down by the furniture place, buy a big TV because he need that. His room only a 8 foot by 8 foot, but he need a 60-inch TV in there. All right? Then he buys a bed. Not for him, for Sugarfoot. Because Sugarfoot need one, right? And he makes sure he Sugarloaf got a bed. And now he owe the bank for that. And he go and he buy one Honda CRV. Not CRV, Civic. A 94. It probably had a leaking cam cover. He didn't care though. It sounded fast. And it had a good set. Man, look at the 18-inch rims. So he buys that for $7,000. By the time he's an able hand, with 4 years on the job, possibly a man 24 years old, he now finds himself in a position where Sugarloaf bed then broke, BEC then killed the DV, the car park in his yard, but it ain't driving a year. And so he has debt, but for one bunch of things he really can't show for. For one bunch of things he really cannot say, listen, yes, I absorb debt, but here is why, and here is the benefit of that debt, or here is how that debt is paying off. And I believe when we look at both sides of the political divide at this present time, I don't fault Mr. Christie for making known his personal aspiration, which is to help Mr. Davis, who has been quite a supporter to him, be elected. But that is self-serving. And all persons, this isn't just Christie one, every human, there is no such thing as an interest that is not self-serving, right? The reason I just wash my car and I don't wash my neighbor one is because if mine rotten down, I ain't gonna have none. Not because I like washing cars. And so while we are aware that politicians are humans and so they will serve their human interests, we have to also ask ourselves the question, what is gonna come out of it for us? Are we imagining enough? Are we looking in the direction of a new Bahamas? And not just the kind of new Bahamas that they talk about in the commercial, but an actual new Bahamas that functions a different way, looks a different way, sounds a different way. And even if we're still in debt, at least the debt looks like something we can see, touch, and feel. Let's take the call. Good morning, call. You're on.
Miller, how are you doing, sir?
I'm great.
Anything all right?
I feel all right.
Miller,
mm-hmm.
No, we do it Fox on your show, right? I mean, not you, right?
I listen. Mm-hmm.
No, do you realize after 2022, the FNM would have been the government for 20 years? We agree, right?
Say it again. In 2022...
Pardon, after 2022, right?
Mm-hmm.
The FNM would have been the government for 20 of the last 30 years. Is that true or false?
Yes.
Pardon me?
That's true.
And we all agree the fabric of the women living declined in the last year. The bottom line, see, just me. The difference between the PLP and the FNM is not disrespecting nobody. When the PLP is in power, everybody just make money and have a good living. The FNM, Mr. Miller.
I'm listening.
I'll make an example of what the PLP and the FNM is.
Mm-hmm.
In the PLP, it's a big daily tree. When in the morning you wake up, you go on the ground and get dailies. The mm-hmm. FNM is put a net on a daily tree. Nobody get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So to make a long story short again, Mr. Miller, under the PLP, people that strive and make a living, okay? Under the FNM, only life and key, old Fort Bay, and certain Uncle Toms make money in this country, okay? That's all it is, okay?
Mm. So how does that look any different, right? Because
Mr. Miller, mm-hmm. the difference is the majority of payment profit under the PLP, and like you said, in life, if you borrow money, at least have something to show for the great. True or what?
Mm-hmm. That's what I believe. Yes.
No, I'm trying to say the whole thing is being able to service the debt. You know, you like Chicago Lang said yesterday, you could borrow money. As long as you have something to replace it or make more.
And we are running to, Dave, we are getting to a point where we are almost incapable of doing that. And the PLP cannot divorce themselves for their contribution to that.
No, but Mr. Miller, the PLP under Mr. Pinlin, we was never in his problems. We agreed that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The FNM was governing for the past, like I said, the FNM will be in power for the past 20 years or the last 30 years. That's true or false?
That is true, yes. From
the
92.
The last paycheck, 20 is greater than 10, right?
Yeah.
So take responsibility and then, like I said, let's make it the last thing, right? On the world, you can have 8 years. We don't believe in God's principle, govern our country, was Christian nation. That's why we suffer right now.
Peter Dinklage says...
It's 8 years.
Peter Dinklage says he don't think that have no bearing on anything. Pardon me? Peter Dinklage says that he don't think that have no bearing on anything.
No, Mr. Miller, with all due respect, if you have certain values in life, mm-hmm. being a man to you, true or false?
I agree. I've said before, I would not vote for somebody that is a publicly proclaimed atheist. And I will tell you why I wouldn't do it. Because I like to be able to tie people to things. I don't know what to expect from... It's like I wouldn't vote for a proclaimed Buddhist more than likely because I don't really know what ties his conscience. You understand what I'm saying? I believe I know what to anticipate out of a Christian. I believe I know what to anticipate out of a Muslim. I believe I know what to anticipate out of a Rastafarian. For me, though, right? And I don't ask people to be guided or use this as their measuring stick. It's mine. I don't personally know, and I don't think that they're bad people. I just wouldn't put them in a position to affect policy or things in my life, right? And it's because I know when I hit hard times, I believe that I go to God and he gives me intuition. He gives me innovation. That's where I believe mine comes from. When I hit a wall, I say, now, God, we can't live like this too much longer. What we can do with this? And I believe that I am quickened with innovation. And things just happen. I don't know where the atheist goes. And that for me, that uncertainty for me is something that, you know, I'm not as prepared to deal with. But to Dave's point, Dave, to your very same example, the Progressive Liberal Party has been in power for 35 of the last 65 years. So they still have a majority stake in the Bahamas, right? And, you know, I continue to tell people that I think the PLP has caught itself up on feel-good governance, right? Where people feel good, but we're heading in the wrong direction. And while that isn't always bad, it is not always good. It is because I imagine that governance is kind of like a digital rectal examination, right? Man, it don't feel good, you know. But it is good for you. I'm not saying that you should go home and try it. I'm just saying that if you need to go and see your physician and the course of treatment is that you need to have a digital rectal examination, as uncomfortable as that makes you feel, it is for your good. In the same breath of air, as good as drinking Kool-Aid tastes, drinking it every day can be good for you. So I don't just want to feel good, Dave. I want to actually know that the thing that I'm doing, even if it makes me uncomfortable, is good for me in the long haul. All right? Let's take some calls. Come on and call. You're on.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Miller.
How you doing?
All is well?
Most things are.
I assume you're good with figures.
Sometimes. Actually, no. I suck with math.
Well, okay. If I start from a trillion, all right, I want you to guide me and correct me if I'm wrong, which I doubt. I can start with a trillion. From a trillion, then you go to a billion.
Mm-hmm.
From a billion, then you go to a million.
Mm-hmm.
From a million, then you go to 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
From 100,000, you go to thousands.
You go
and
to 10,000.
You go to dollars.
No. From 100,000, you go to 10,000.
Yeah, 10,000. But thousands, but okay, 10,000. My bad. Mm-hmm. I forget it. 10,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to the single. You go to the hundreds.
Thousands, hundreds, tens, ones.
Right,
yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you something. How is it that I spoke to an 11-year-old person that I basically almost mentor, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is it that she, that young girl, could add numbers and these people? Who's supposed to be the intelligent people, Mr. Miller? They can't even add, you know. And then we wonder why, as behemoths in our country, why we have a D average. We wonder why we have a D average. It's because the simple fact is the people who's supposed to be so smart in the movers of the shakers, they be on a D average. They on like a F.
But we have elected them.
There's no explanation that you or anyone in this country could tell me that you have someone that is contributing to a budget, which you have international people. I'm not even talking about us people here in the Bahamas. You have international people watching this budget, and you have someone standing up there saying, oh, my loving government, my caring government, but still you can't even count figures. That's a serious thing, you know, Mr. Miller. And these are the people who they want you to elect and re-elect.
Well, the problem with that is, I mean, again, they're not kings and queens. They didn't ascend through osmosis to power. They actually were elected to power. And so that is who we chose. What then does that say, DeWitt, about us, the electorate? Let's take another one. Good morning, caller. You're on. Good morning, caller. All right, let me read a couple of these text messages. You can give me a call back. 323-623-2325, 4316-325, 4259. You can text me, 4224796. Text right here says, good morning, Mr. Miller. I would like to see a budget that comes from the bottom up. Let's stop right there. See, this is more of that conflated language, right? What does that mean? It doesn't have meaning. It's almost like when they say, we've got a dream and we've got to dream big. We've got to see beyond the horizon that the Bahamas can have brighter days. We must go in a new direction towards the new Bahamas. And you all shake the pom-pom and that you have no clue what that means. That is what I'm trying to get us beyond. All right, let me finish the text writer. The text writer says, where was I? The way you do it is by having every MP presenting the things that are needed in their various constituencies, but the economists and the politicians will say it isn't practical. But I don't think so. Okay. Let's take a call. Morning call, you're on.
Hello, Mr. Miller.
Hey, Sparky.
How you doing? Good.
Sparky, you hear my Bahamian colloquialism now? You like that?
Yeah, well, I hear you trying to learn it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get into these things.
I'm trying my best.
But we ain't proud of being Bahamian. We want to be English, Dutch, foreign, American, all kinds of different things. But and then when the foreigners come, we won't run them. But we won't be like them, but we still won't run them. Go back home. We want to be things.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't even want to take care of the old things. We still want to give it to them. But you know, the thing is, I was so embarrassed yesterday as a Bahamian watching the budget debate and watching the social media reaction to a member of parliament, our House of Parliament, when it comes to reading their own speech on national TV and things would go viral around the world. When I at 70 years old, graduated in 1970 from the government high, know that you have units, tens, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, millions, tens of millions, and the billions, and this and that and the next.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who I know by their age came out of school after me,
mm-hmm.
when we're supposed to be progressing. Hello?
Mm-hmm. I'm here.
We're supposed to be progressing. And somebody who has won a seat to represent people in the House Assembly, not the first time, not the second time, could stand up there and embarrass this country that can't even read their own speech. To me, that's embarrassing. And then the leaders of these people have these people following them, and can I use the word, suck up to them to get what they want for friends, families, and lovers. While the rest of us here who mean well and try to build this country, can't get nowhere, can't get nothing, and then they double the triple tax it up. And they allow these people, you know, I would have told that place, hey, tomorrow is your time to speak. Please find a reason not to come to the House Assembly. Get sick, say you got to go home somewhere, you got COVID, something, but we don't want you to stand up and open your mouth. It's embarrassing. I'm supposed to be a church leader, a community leader, and a member of the House of Assembly.
Poor preparation usually leads to piss-poor performances.
That's no excuse. You know,
Have you ever heard that? Poor preparation leads to piss-poor performances. Have you ever heard that?
Boy,
It's the P's of public speaking. Poor preparation leads to piss-poor performances.
Let me tell you something. I remember as a front desk clerk at Batelco when I was in the wireless department.
Mm-hmm.
This inspector with all his garments and glory and medals and things all over his khaki outfit, police would come to sit in the front of me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted, you was getting transferred from old phone to new phone. And I had to ask him, what's your number? His telephone number is 433-3333. Now, I crack a joke. And everybody heard it. I say, sir, you got a farmy. He said, what do you mean, sir? I say, 4333333. I say, isn't the word three with a TH?
Mm-hmm.
This inspector in public asked me if I tried to embarrass him. But he's embarrassing me because he's an inspector on the police force talking like that in public. Man, you talk like that when you're under the dilly-tree playing dog or dominoes with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
The word is 433, not 33. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Sparky. Let's take another one. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller? Is it called out? Nope, not on. All right, so someone here says, one last shot for Christy Davis and Ingram. I guess. Ask Dave to explain the four downgrades under the last administration with no COVID and no Dorian. The FNM and the BLB, they are all the same. Every 5 years, give me 1 second, caller. Every 5 years, we go through the same emotional roller coaster and nothing changes. Why don't we give the DNA a chance? We don't give the DNA a chance because they're flaccid. We don't give the DNA a chance because they're not probing. That is their problem. You've got to be more probing. You've got to, first of all, you've got to recruit a team, right? You have to look like the government. Don't get me started about name recognition. It just so happens that in the Bahamas, we like name recognition, right? So you got to at least pick some people that, if I can't find, at least Google can find. Google can't find these people, right? And then you have to have a message that is so solid, people begin to dream and imagine. What do I mean? When Pinling started his voyage towards prime ministership, you know, Pinling sold Bahamians a Bahamas that they'd never seen. He sold them the concept of a Bahamas that they'd never seen. A Bahamas where one man would be able to vote and not the practice they had before of you could vote wherever you got property. He sold them the concept of independence. He sold them. And so Pinling gave Bahamians something to imagine because he was new. And from all of the accounts I've heard, he was popular from before he jumped on the plane coming to London. So today what we have in the DNA, right, is something that was started by a popular guy, but someone who obviously didn't have the political maneuvering to be able to join himself with people of equal minds and equal influence. And as such, they continue to fizzle and fizzle and fizzle. And humbly, I submit, they are nothing right now more than political smolder. And that's just where I am with it. Let's take another one. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Levi.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep the member from Mike Allen in our prayers. That the Lord would give her the miracle of numbers.
Well,
that one day she'll be in the Ministry of Finance. Now, let's get back to this at hand. And this is the showboat time for the people on Market Street. Who now, remember, the minister's going to lose the election? They're going to need a new leader.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to get up for what we've been doing this from 74. He voted as minister for...
Robert, you still there?
Just vote no.
Mm-hmm.
For the borrowing now, let's say, right? Do you think Peter would tell Papa no more 3 pieces of meat on Tuesdays and Wednesdays? Remember, you have to be an alpha to be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Be a real alpha. You have to cut down some men to be respected. You got to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Minister's not a leader. He's not an alpha male. He's not. Got to be a leader. Everybody talking now because he's the left. He cannot control 24 men. Got to be a cutthroat to be in charge of 34 men.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be loved and respected by them. It's simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that we see Saul Bowden be the next leader of the FNL. That's what we're seeing right now.
Okay. That's what you believe?
We can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Minister will lose the election and he will go away. Who will be the next leader of the FNL? Usually Barnes and Karen on Bado.
So you're trying to tell me that Dwayne Sands is readying himself to take the FNL through the wilderness. That's what you're saying. Robert, where you going? Okay, Robert, get yourself a new phone and then give me a call back. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Not there. I hear Robert's point, right? But how would... Because by that same estimation, I would say that people like Zhivago Language readying themselves to take the body over as well until they found themselves outside. Hubert Ingham said, you can't just be leader. You got to win first. When I was young, I wasn't just biggity and arrogant. I had a hard mouth, but I could back it up. You got to win if you want to lead. And who is to say that he will? So, you know, that's a dangerous game you're talking about there, Robert. Let's take another one. Good morning, Carly. You're on. Carly, you're
there? Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, in reference to a question I'm going to ask you, do you really envision, regardless as to which party is elected in the upcoming election, do you really realistically think, regardless of, because, you know, they're all going to have their messaging.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to have, and the government always has the advantage when they come with these, I call it the Christmas bag.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the sweet, all that good stuff, right? That's what you do. You try and court people to get the vote,
mm-hmm.
right? because they can always hide behind when they get involved. Because Dr. Sand, for instance, he's saying all of these things that are speaking truth,
mm-hmm.
right, in reference to the nurses. The nurses are leaving. He went to a party with one who left. They're all leaving. David just decided to leave after he got fired as Minister of Health.
Right.
They were crying out that the doctors, the church doctors, they had issues for a while now. From the last administration, there was some issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was there. He was in the position of power. Certain days when you become a part of cabinet, all things they say they can't, you know, speak about, or their hands are tied, they have to vote along with the, you know, with everybody else,
mm-hmm.
right? When you become a backbench, you have like it's as if the scale falls from your eye.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these people who have all of these good ideas and whatever else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think anything will actually change going forward, whether there's a 70-year-old leader, whether there's a... Because Dr. Mendez is relatively young, right?
Relative to what?
Being old.
Go on. He looks really good for his age, though. I got to give him that. He looks strong.
Right, but I'm just saying, so these things would you know, my thing is, do you see anyone willing to make that cut and do what needs to be done in reference to changing laws so that you can have real change and not having to hide behind that shield that, hey, this being the best minister system, so there's only certain things that we can do, okay? Because we'll forever be trapped and walking around in circles and people just giving this party an opportunity
mm-hmm.
to help their friends, family, and lovers. And then the next time, there'll be another chance for the set to get kicked off the bus, and you pick up another set of them. So I just want to see if you understand what I'm saying, my question. To see that if you see going forward that we can really have true change unless we make the true cuts and to make the decisions and changing laws and policies or whatever.
No, I don't think.
Real change. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, sure. No, I don't think that we can have a real change unless we are prepared to make the steps. The question becomes who? Who among them will be brave enough to do it? Who among them will be brave enough to say, you know something? I'm not going to have a cabinet of more than 12 people. Who is going to be brave enough among them to say, as prime minister, I want my backbench to be deep enough to ensure that they keep my parliamentary caucus tight enough for us to actually govern and not do this autopilot thing. A prime minister doesn't need to debate his budget if one-third of the parliament or two-thirds of the parliament is the cabinet. Because when he comes across Parliament Square, he pretty much comes with his agenda in tow, which is exactly what the speaker's been hollering about, right? So from day one of an appointment, you can see the direction a new prime minister will go in. If he says, listen to me, including myself, there will be 13 cabinet ministers, because I want the parliament to be two-thirds stronger than the cabinet of the Bahamas. And we're going to have to go in there and we're going to have to fight tooth and nail to get legislation passed. That'll make a massive difference in the way we spend the money, how the money looks when we spend it, etc., etc. Anyway, I hear my music. I'm going to a break. Don't move. You're listening to Leavin' Miller. I'm Unleashed on your radio on Guardian. I'll be right back.
Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity. We're good for you.
So how does COVID-19 contact tracing work? Public health officials first identify who has COVID-19. This person is considered a positive COVID-19 case and is asked about the individuals with whom they were in contact. These individuals are called contacts. It is important that persons who have tested positive for COVID-19 be honest with the healthcare providers so that they can effectively do their jobs. The health officials call the contacts and explain that they were exposed to COVID-19 through an infected person. The contact is informed of the necessary steps they need to take. These steps include self-quarantine for 14 days, do not allow visitors, answer the phone when health officials call to assess daily, and inform them of symptoms if they develop. At the end of the 14 days, no testing is needed unless symptoms are present. Let's do our part to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
This message has been brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for staying with me. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm unleashed on your radio every weekday at 11. And you know, you can feel free to give Janet Lee's those a call and let them know that you'd like to be a part of this show, Unleashed with Levin Miller. I'm sure they have wonderful packages for you and you can be a part of the show and all that kind of stuff. Or even if you want to come on as a sponsored guest, that would be perfect as well. Give them a call. Let's get it all set up. Let's take a call online. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm just calling to say that with a two-party system, it soon settles into a system whereby a lot of corruption sets in on both sides, or it very easily happens, and it doesn't matter who is in power. Nothing seems to really change for the common man.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing seems to really change where benefits accrue to the man or the woman who is an ordinary citizen. And you get to see, regardless of who's in power, that crony deals get done and the rich continue to get richer.
Mm-hmm.
And supporters are obviously provided for, but other than that, not much changes.
Mm-hmm.
What is interesting to me is what recently happened in Chile. In that country, they had major elections just a few months ago, I think back in May. And for the very first time, even though they have largely a two-party system, one is more towards the left, one is more towards the right.
Mm-hmm.
But the people were totally fed up because nothing was changing for them. And what happened is that for the first time, the people voted in a landslide of independent candidates.
Mm-hmm.
It was, even though the two parties, the major parties, contributed or spent three quarters of the money in advertising up to the election,
mm-hmm.
The independents won by a landslide. And now the entire Chilean constitution is being changed to be more inclusive of the common man.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything is changing, but the only way that it seems possible is if you have a woke enough population that rejects party politics and votes for the first time for someone independent who is not beholden to anyone else that actually has a chance to represent them properly. So that's just food for thought. That actually happened.
I completely agree with you, Carla. What I would like to add to that, though, is that so what has to happen is the people that are not a part of the fundamental political systems and organizations, right, have to have messages, though, that people, the electorate, can actually see. They have to present. You know, I hear of the COI, right, and a lot of my difficulty with their ideas is I'm not really sure that I can agree with them that if the people that are around here are as greedy as you say they are, that they permitted this thing to go on and they themselves didn't try to intercept this when they had power. Something just seems a bit too fanciful about that for me, right? So right. I want something that is different, you know. But it's like having an old pot, right? I cook in this pot because I know exactly which temperature to turn the burner on so it don't cook pot cake at the bottom. Versus right. getting a new pot that I don't know, right? And every time I cook the rice, I got pot cake.
Right.
And I think the Bahamian people are a bit pensive about their politics at this point, and I don't think you can blame them.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't remember who it was, but I think it was Einstein who said, it's madness to
insanity,
expect
yeah.
different results if you do the same thing over and over again.
I completely agree. Thank you very much for your contribution, caller. Let me knock on a couple of these text messages. I'm not taking any more of those calls. It's so sad that you can see what's wrong with the DNA, but you could not see that this last administration only got in house because of Papa and because of party. Without opportunity, you will not know what the DNA is capable of. Guardian gave you an opportunity to host this show. This is why you now have a following. Perhaps if you had stayed under the tree with the boys with your talks, we would not know you. Stop downgrading the DNA. You may be onto something. But I am going to say, though, that I believe, right, when Stephen Hanna brought me to Guardian Radio, it was because the things I told him under the tree was so fascinating to him that he thought it should be on radio. Maybe if the DNA was saying something fascinating to me or to the Bahamian people, we would think that we want to hear them go and say it in the parliament. Be guided by that. All right? Man, I'm out of time already. Anyway, that's my music. Morning, the oligarchs gave Pinling the Pinling government. No problem. We won't give the DNA a chance because we don't want our dollars to lose value. I'm not sure if that's realistically possible. Mr. Miller, the BLB does not have a plan for this country at this time. It's better for the FNM to continue on this journey than to turn things over to Brave. I give credit to Brenzel Rule for a job well done. Hi, only the Queen is in charge. Rule Britannia. Even Biden must give an account to her. Man, I won't stop right there. Let's stop right there. Anyway, it's Friday. You know, I say it every weekend. Do everything in your power this weekend to ensure that you don't kill nobody. More importantly, do even more in your power to ensure that nobody don't kill you. And if you do that, I will see you right back here on Monday. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got the news. It's now.
Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes,